Chapter 2. It was about 8 o'clock when the cab deposited me on a random corner in the nearest town. I paid off the driver and walked for around 20 minutes. Then I stopped in a diner, found a booth, and had juice, a couple of eggs, toast, bacon, and 3 cups of coffee. The bacon was too greasy. After giving breakfast a good hour, I started walking, found a clothing store, and waited till its 9:30 opening. I bought a pair of slacks, 3 sport shirts, a belt, some underwear, and a pair of shoes that fit. I also picked up a handkerchief, a wallet, and pocket comb. Then I found a Greyhound station and boarded a bus for New York. No one tried to stop me. No one seemed to be looking for me. Sitting there watching the countryside all autumn-colored and tickled by brisk winds beneath a bright, cold sky, I reviewed everything I knew about myself and my circumstances. I had been registered at Greenwood as Carl Corey by my sister Evelyn Flamel. This had been subsequent to an auto accident some 15 or so days past, in which I had suffered broken bones which no longer troubled me. I didn't remember Sister Evelyn. The Greenwood people had been instructed to keep me passive, were afraid of the law when I got loose, and threatened them with it. Okay. Someone was afraid of me, for some reason? I'd play it for all it was worth. I forced my mind back to the accident, dwelled upon it till my head hurt. It was no accident. I have that impression, though I didn't know why. I would find out, and someone would pay. Very, very much would they pay. An anger, a terrible one, flared within the middle of my body. Anyone who tried to hurt me, to use me, did so at his own peril, and now he would receive his due, whoever he was. This one. I felt a strong desire to kill, to destroy whoever had been responsible. And I knew that it was not the first time in my life that I had felt this thing. And I knew, too, that I had followed through on it in the past. More than once, I stared out the window, watching the dead leaves fall. When I hit the big city, the first thing I did was to get a shave and haircut in the nearest clip joint, and the second was to change my shirt and undershirt in the men's room, because I can't stand hair down my back. The .32 automatic, belonging to the nameless individual at Greenwood, was in my right-hand jacket pocket. I suppose that if Greenwood or my sister wanted me picked up in a hurry, a Sullivan violation would come in handy. But I decided to hang on to it. They'd have to find me first, and I wanted a reason. I ate a quick lunch, rode subways and buses for an hour, then got a cab to take me out to the Westchester address of Evelyn, my nominal sister and hopeful jogger of memories. Before I arrived, I'd already decided on the tack I'd take, so when the door to the huge old place opened in response to my knock, after about a 30-second wait, I knew what I was going to say. I had thought about it as I one deed walked up the long, winding, white gravel driveway, between the dark oaks and the bright maples, leaves crunching beneath my feet, and the wind cold on my fresh-scraped neck within the raised collar of my jacket. The smell of my hair tonic mingled with a musty odor from the ropes of ivy that crowded all over the walls of that old brick place. There was no sense of familiarity. I didn't think I had ever been here before. I had knocked, and there had come an echo. Then I jammed my hands into my pockets and waited. When the door opened, I had smiled and nodded toward the mole-flecked maid with a swarthy complexion and a Puerto Rican accent.
Yes.
I'd like to see Mrs. Evelyn Flamel, please.
Who shall I say is calling?
Her brother, Carl.
Oh, come in, please.
I entered a hallway, the floor a mosaic of tiny salmon and turquoise tiles, the wall mahogany, a trough of big-leafed green things occupying a room divider to my left. From overhead, a cube of glass and enamel threw down a yellow light. The gal departed, and I sought around me for something familiar. Nothing. So I waited. Presently the maid returned, smiled, nodded, and said,
"Please follow me. She will see you in the library."
I followed up 3 stairs and down a corridor past 2 closed doors. The third one to my left was open, and the maid indicated I should enter it. I did so, then paused on the threshold. Like all libraries, it was full of books. It also held 3 paintings, 2 indicating quiet landscapes and 1 a peaceful seascape. The floor was heavily carpeted in green. There was a big globe beside the big desk with Africa facing me and a wall-to-wall window behind it, 8 stepladders of glass. But none of these was the reason I'd paused. The woman behind the desk wore a wide-collared V-necked dress of blue-green, had long hair and low bangs, all of a cross between sunset clouds and the outer edge of a candle flame in an otherwise dark room. And natural, I somehow knew. And her eyes behind glasses I didn't think she needed were as blue as Lake Erie at 3 o'clock on a cloudless summer afternoon. And the color of her compressed smile matched her hair. But none of these was the reason I'd paused. I knew her from somewhere, though I couldn't say where. I advanced, holding my own smile. Hello.
Sit down, please.
Indicating a high-backed, big armchair that bulged and was orange. Of the kind just tilted at the angle in which I loved to loaf. I did so, and she studied me.
Glad to see you're up and around again.
Me too. How've you been?
Fine, thank you. I must say, I didn't expect to see you here.
I know. I fibbed. But here I am, to thank you for your sisterly kindness and care. I let a slight note of irony sound within the sentence, just to observe her response. At that point, an enormous dog entered the room, an Irish wolfhound, and it curled up in front of the desk. Another followed and circled the globe twice before lying down.
Well, it was the least I could do for you. You should drive more carefully.
In the future, I'll take greater precautions, I promise. I didn't know what sort of game I was playing, but since she didn't know that I didn't know, I decided to take her for all the information I could. I figured you would be curious as to the shape I was in, so I came to let you see.
I was. Have you eaten?
A light lunch several hours ago. So she rang up the maid and ordered food. Then,
I thought you might take it upon yourself to leave Greenwood when you were able. I didn't think it would be so soon, though, and I didn't think you'd come here.
I know, that's why I did. She offered me a cigarette and I took it. Lit hers, lit mine.
You always were unpredictable. While this has helped you often in the past, however, I wouldn't count on it now.
What do you mean?
The stakes are far too high for a bluff, and I think that's what you're trying, walking in here like this. I've always admired your courage, Corwin, but don't be a fool. You know the score.
Corwin, file it away. Under Corey. Maybe I don't. I've been asleep for a while, remember?
You mean you haven't been in touch?
Haven't had a chance since I woke up. She leaned her head to one side and narrowed her wonderful eyes.
Rash, but possible, just possible. You might mean it. You might. I'll pretend that you do for now. In that case, you may have done a smart, safe thing. Let me think about it.
I drew on my cigarette, hoping she'd say something more. But she didn't. So I decided to seize what seemed the advantage I'd obtained in this game I didn't understand. With players I didn't know for stakes I had no inkling of. The fact that I'm here indicates something.
Yes, I know. But you're smart, so it could indicate more than one thing. We'll wait and see.
Wait for what? See what? Thing? Stakes then arrived in a pitcher of beer, so I was temporarily freed from the necessity of making cryptic and general statements for her to ponder as subtle or cagey. Mine was a good steak. Pink inside and full of juice, and I tore at the fresh, tough-crusted bread with my teeth and gulped the beer with a great hunger and a thirst. She laughed as she watched me, while cutting off tiny pieces of her own.
I love the gusto with which you assail life, Corwin. It's one of the reasons I'd hate to see you part company with it.
Me too. And while I ate, I pondered her. I saw her in a low-cut gown, one green as the green of the sea, with full skirts. There was music, dancing, voices behind us. I wore black and silver, and the vision faded. But it was a true piece of my memory, I knew. And inwardly I cursed that I lacked it in its entirety. What had she been saying in her green to me in my black and silver, that night, behind the music, the dancing, and the voices? I poured us more beer from the pitcher and decided to test the vision. I remember one night when you were all in green and I in my colors. How lovely things seemed. And the music. Her face grew slightly wistful, the cheeks smoothing.
Yes, were not those the days? You really have not been in touch?
Word of honor, for whatever that was worth.
Things have grown far worse, and the shadows contain more horrors than any had thought.
And?
He still has his troubles.
Oh.
Yes, and he'll want to know where you stay at.
Right here.
You mean, a scene non lie.
For now. I told her perhaps too quickly, for her eyes had widened too much, since I still don't know the full state of affairs, whatever that meant.
Oh?
And we finished our steaks and the beer, giving the two bones to the dogs. We sipped some coffee afterward, and I came to feel a bit brotherly, but suppressed it. What of the others? Which could mean anything, but sounded safe. I was afraid for a moment that she was going to ask me what I meant. Instead, though, she leaned back in her chair, stared at the ceiling.
As always, no one new has been heard from. Perhaps yours is the wisest way. I'm enjoying it myself, but how can one forget the glory?
I lowered my eyes because I wasn't sure what they should contain. One can't, one never can. There followed a long, uncomfortable silence.
Do you hate me? Of course not. How could at all things considered?
This seemed to please her, and she showed her teeth, which were very white.
Good, and thank you, whatever else, you're a gentleman.
I bowed and smirked.
You'll turn my head. Hardly, all things considered.
And I felt uncomfortable. My anger was there, and I wondered whether she knew who it was that I needed to stay it. I felt that she did. I fought with the desire to ask it outright, suppressed it.
Well, what do you propose doing?
Of course, you don't trust me.
How could we?
I determined to remember that we, well done. For the time being, I'm willing to place myself under your surveillance. I'll be glad to stay right here where you can keep an eye on me.
And afterward?
Afterward, we'll see.
Clever, very clever. And you place me in an awkward position. Yes, of course you may stay, but let me warn you.
And here she fingered what I had thought to be some sort of pendant on a chain about her neck.
This is an ultrasonic dog whistle. Donner and Blitzen here have four brothers, and they're all trained to take care of nasty people, and they all respond to my whistle. So don't start to walk toward any place where you won't be desired. A toot or two, and even you, will go down before them. Their kind is the reason there are no wolves left in Ireland, you know.
I know, realizing that I did.
Yes. Eric will like it that you are my guest. It should cause him to leave you alone, which is what you want, Nisippa.
Well, Eric, it meant something. I had known an Eric, and it had been very important somehow. That I did. Not recently. But the Eric I had known was still around, and that was important. Why? I hated him. That was one reason. Hated him enough to have contemplated killing him. Perhaps I'd even tried, although there was some bond between us, I knew. Kinship? Yes, that was it. Neither of us liked it being brothers. I remembered. Big, powerful Eric with his wet, curly beard and his eyes just like Evelyn's. I was racked with a new surge of memory as my temples began to throb and the back of my neck was suddenly warm. I didn't let any of it show on my face, but forced myself to take another drag on my cigarette, another sip of beer, as I realized that Evelyn was indeed my sister. Only Evelyn wasn't her name. I couldn't think of what it was, but it wasn't Evelyn. I'd be careful, I resolved. I'd not use any name at all when addressing her, until I remembered. And what of me? And what was it that was going on around me? Eric, I suddenly felt, had some connection with my accident. It should have been a fatal one, only I pulled through. He was the one, wasn't he? Yes, my feelings replied. It had to be Eric. And Evelyn was working with him, paying Greenwood to keep me in a coma. Better than being dead, but I realized that I had just somehow delivered myself into Eric's hands by coming to Evelyn, and I would be his prisoner. Would be open to new attack if I stayed. But she had suggested that my being her guest would cause him to leave me alone. I wondered. I couldn't take anything at face value. I'd have to be constantly on my guard. Perhaps it would be better if I just went away. Let my memories return gradually. But there was this terrible sense of urgency. I had to find out the full story as soon as possible and act as soon as I knew it. It lay like a compulsion upon me. If danger was the price of memory and risk the cost of opportunity, then so be it. I won, I'd stay.
And I remember.
And I realized that she'd been talking for a while and I hadn't even been listening. Perhaps it was because of the reflective quality of her words, not really requiring any sort of respouse, and because of the urgency of my thoughts.
And I remember the day you beat Julian at his favorite game and he threw a glass of wine at you and cursed you. But you took the prize, and he was suddenly afraid he had gone too far. But you laughed then, though, and drank a glass with him. I think he felt badly over that show of temper, normally being so cool, and I think he was envious of you that day. Do you recall? I think he has, to a certain extent. It was hated many of your ways since then. But I still hate him and hope that he goes down shortly. I feel he will.
Julian. Yes and no. Something about a game and my baiting a man and shattering an almost legendary self-control. Yes, there was a feeling of familiarity, And no, I couldn't really say for certain what all had been involved.
And came, how you galled him. He hates you yet, you know.
I gathered I wasn't very well liked. Somehow the feeling pleased me. And came, too, sounded familiar. Very. Eric, Julian, Kane, Corwin. The name swam around in my head, and in a way, it was too much to hold within me. It's been so long, almost involuntarily, and it seemed to be true.
Corwin, let's not fence. You want more than security, I know that. And you're still strong enough to get something out of this if you play your hand just right. I can't guess what you have in mind, but maybe you can make a deal with Eric.
The we had obviously shifted. She had come to some sort of conclusion as to my worth and whatever was going on. She saw a chance to gain something for herself, I could tell. I smiled just a little.
Is that why you came here? Do you have a proposal for Eric? Something which might require a go-between?
I may, after I have thought about it some more. I've still so recently recovered that I have much pondering to do. I wanted to be in the best place, though, where I could act quickly if I decided my best interests lay with Eric.
Take care. You know I'll report every word.
Of course. Not knowing that at all and groping for a quick hedge, unless your best interests were conjoined with my own. Her eyebrows moved closer together and tiny wrinkles appeared between them.
I'm not sure what you're proposing.
I'm not proposing anything yet. I'm just being completely open and honest with you and telling you I don't know. I'm not positive I want to make a deal with Eric. After all, I let the words trail off on purpose, for I had nothing to follow them with, though I felt I should.
You've been offered an alternative?
She stood up suddenly, seizing her whistle.
Please, of course.
Sit down and don't be ridiculous. Would I place myself in your hands this calmly, this readily, just to be dog meat because you happen to think of Blaze? She relaxed, maybe even sagged a little, then reseated herself.
Possibly not, but I know you're a gambler, and I know you're treacherous. If you came here to dispose of a partisan, don't even bother trying. I'm not that important. You should know that by now. Besides, I always thought you rather liked me.
I did, and I do, and you have nothing to worry about, so don't. It's interesting, though, that you should mention Blaze. Bait, bait, bait. There was so much I wanted to know.
Why? Has he approached you?
And I'd rather not say, hoping it would give me an edge of some kind. And now that I knew Blaze's gender, if he had, I'd have answered him the same as I would. Eric, I'll think about it.
Blaze.
Blaze, I said to myself inside my head. Blaze, I like you. I forget why, and I know there are reasons why I shouldn't. But I like you. I know it. We sat a while. And I felt fatigued but didn't want to show it. I should be strong. I knew I had to be strong. I sat there and smiled and said, nice library you've got here.
Thank you. Blaze, do you really think he has a chance?
I shrugged.
Who knows? Not I, for certain. Maybe he does. Maybe not, too.
Then she stared at me, her eyes slightly wide and her mouth opening.
Not you, she said. You're not proposing to try yourself, are you?
I laughed then, solely for purposes of countering her emotion.
Don't tease silly me.
But as she said it, I knew she'd struck some chord, some deep buried thing which replied with a powerful...
Why not?
I was suddenly afraid. She seemed relieved, though, at my disavowal of whatever it was I was disavowing. She smiled then, and indicated a built-in bar off to my left.
I'd like a little Irish mist.
So would I, for that matter. And I rose and fetched, too.
You know, after I'd reseated myself, it's pleasant to be together with you this way, even if it is only for a short time. It brings back memories.
And she smiled and was lovely.
You're right,
she said, sipping her drink.
I almost feel an amber with you around.
I almost dropped my drink. Amber. The word had sent a bolt of lightning down my spine. Then she began to cry. And I rose and put my arm around her shoulders to comfort her. Don't cry, little girl. Please don't. It makes me unhappy, too. Amber, there was something there, something electrical and potent. There will be good days once again.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, yes, I do.
You're crazy. Maybe that's why you are tame. Willie's my favorite brother, too. I can almost believe anything you say, even though I know you're crazy.
Then she cried a little more and stopped.
Corwin, if you do make it, if by some wild and freakish chance at a shadow, you should make it, will you remember your little sister, Florimel?
Yes, yes, I will remember you.
Thank you. I will tell Eric only the essentials, and mention Blaze not at all, nor my latest suspicions.
Thank you, Flora.
But I don't trust you worth a damn. Remember that, too.
That goes without saying. Then she summoned her maid to show me to a room, and I managed to undress, collapsed into the bed, and slept for 11 hours.